Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Trent Horn is in studio, and it's so why are you pro-choice today? Only pro-choice people are getting through. Everyone else has got to wait their turn. If you are a pro, you got to wait your turn. You got to wait till tomorrow when we do open forum. You can call tomorrow. So all of you pro-lifers out there, we still love you. We just want to talk with the pro-choice people today. Trent Horn, our guest, is an apologist here at Catholic Answers and a prolific author. Among his books, Answering Atheism, Why We're Catholic, Persuasive Pro-Life, What the Saints Never Said. He'd love to talk with you if you're a pro-choice person. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We kind of had to cut Lindsay off, and I feel bad about it.
We reached the end of the show. We were having a good conversation, so hoping Lindsay is still there and we can
You still with continue. Us, Lindsay?
Yeah, I'm definitely here. And Trent, I disagree. I don't think we're having a conversation. I think I'm sharing a point and you're talking over me. So I'd love to have six uninterrupted sentences before you jump in, and I'll give you your airspace. Does that sound fair?
Wait a second. We got to debate that for a minute. Six sentences. It seems like a lot to me.
Lindsay, I'm happy for you to share your point of view. And Cy's job is to help continue the conversation so that it's flowing. So what I'll do is I'm going to defer to Cy. And he can decide when either of us, we might need to move on from a point. So feel free to share what you think.
I feel like six
Maybe
is high.
Just give me a chance to share my point because I don't really feel like I'm getting a chance to make it.
Go right ahead. Sorry, I'll leave it to you to moderate.
What I did share is that not necessarily everything that is wrong should be considered illegal. And I think as Catholics, we've really done a good job of being pro-birth, but we have not necessarily done a good job of being pro-life. And so by the time a woman is at a place where she's looking to make a decision about whether or not she is going to have an abortion, I think that there are a lot of places where we as a society, we as a church community have failed her. So maybe we have promoted in our homes TV shows that do not promote modesty or promote casual sex. Maybe we've allowed a lot of different things and set a lot of examples and not set a lot of guidelines and boundaries in terms of like how we are raising children and what morals and ethics we're promoting at home. So I think that by the time that a woman gets to a place where she's in a very, very, very difficult decision, she has a difficult decision to make, I think that we could do a much better job at along the way supporting better decisions to be made. And then
that way, hang on, we're at like nine sentences. I got to let Trent respond. Go ahead, Trent.
Sure, Lindsay. All I have is a question for you. I agree.
That was nine. Seriously.
Sure.
That was nine
I agree
sentences.
That we can do a lot as a society to help families, to promote healthy families. And that's not mutually exclusive with my goal, which is to make it illegal to directly kill human beings. So would you agree with me that it would be justified to have a law that says you cannot directly kill an innocent human being, no matter how young they are?
I think that once the child is born, once the child is born, then you have the right to make that decision. But when the child is still within the mother's body, I do think that it is her right to make that decision. It should not be illegal.
Okay, Lindsay.
I think we should focus more on prevention.
Lindsay, why does a mother have a right to kill her own child just because the child has not been born yet?
Because she has to live with the outcome of that very, very difficult decision, no matter what it is, and arguably so does the child.
Well, the child doesn't live with it if they get killed, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So I think that we should do a good job of focusing on the prevention and the supports beforehand. So we are looking at a Catholic community that is pro-life and not just pro-birth.
Well, as there's a wonderful taco commercial online with a little girl who says, why not both? My question for you is, why can't we just help people prevent getting into situations where they have children when they're not ready? And make it illegal to kill children.
If we have effectively done the first one, we will not have to do the second one.
Okay. Do you think, though, that regardless of the first one, it should just be illegal to kill children because it's monstrous to kill children?
No, because then we are not functioning as a society. We are functioning as judgmental individuals. We're not supporting families as a community. We are placing ourselves in a place of judgment towards a woman who arguably we have not done our fair share in creating a supportive community for which she was to have grown in the first place.
Lindsay, I don't understand your position. So it seems that you're okay judging pro-lifers and saying they have not done enough to help pregnant women, and that it seems like it's okay for you to say pro-lifers have failed morally in that they haven't done enough to help pregnant women, but somehow it's judgmental or wrong to say that women shouldn't kill their children. That's what I have a hard time with here, that with born people, you could have a mother in a very difficult situation with a toddler who it may be easier for her to kill her toddler, and yet you and I agree we shouldn't kill that toddler. It seems like to me you're just arguing, the only difference you've picked, we agree she shouldn't be allowed to kill her toddler. It seems like your argument is a mother should be allowed to kill her unborn child. Seems like just because she has the might, though, it's might makes right. She has the power to do that, and it would just be easier for her life to be able to do that. Would you agree it's more civilized? It's more civilized to say we don't kill children no matter how young they are. Do you agree that's the more civilized position?
Yes, but I believe right now we're talking about a fetus.
What is a fetus?
A fetus is a child, but it is within the mother's body.
So, okay, is it okay to kill children?
No.
Okay, so does it matter where a child lives, whether he's in a crib or a bassinet or the womb? Children are valuable no matter where they live, right?
So crib, yes. Bassinet, yes. Womb, no.
Why?
Because not everything that is wrong should be illegal.
Why are you saying abortion is wrong?
Do you think rape is wrong?
Yes.
What about poverty?
I believe poverty is a natural evil, but it's not a moral evil. You can't commit the crime of poverty. You can steal from people, but those things are wrong. I think you shouldn't rape or kill people. Yeah.
Right. What about domestic violence? Do you think that's wrong?
I think it's wrong to commit an act of violence against an innocent person. Do you agree it's wrong to commit an act of violence against an innocent person?
Absolutely.
Okay, so domestic violence is wrong, rape is wrong, and abortion would be wrong.
So I'm not arguing whether or not abortion is wrong. I'm arguing whether or not it should be illegal.
Right. Do you think killing innocent people should be illegal?
I think killing innocent people should be illegal.
What is a person?
A person is somebody who is alive. I think that we could say, is a person still a person after they've died?
Would you like me to answer?
What do you think? I think that you have to give me your opinion.
Sure.
I don't think you could give me the truth.
Why do you say that?
Well, because only God knows the truth.
I think only God knows all truths, but you and I can know some truths. So I would say a person is an individual member of a valuable kind. So you have to be alive to be a person, but not so if you're dead, you're not a person, you're dead. You have to be alive to be a person, but not everything that's alive is a person. Bacteria are alive, they're not people. Slugs are alive, they're not people. You have to be a living member of the human species. And if you are a living member of the human species, you are valuable, you are a person, and you deserve to be protected under the law. And for me, that is true of every member of the human community, no matter how old they are or how young they are, and that would include the unborn. So I just don't see what's inconsistent about that position.
Well, I think that going back to my first point, which is that as a society, if we want to go from what is wrong to what is illegal, then we have to make our global community such that a woman is not going to be in a position to have to make such a terrible choice.
So before we can make it illegal to kill children, we have to change society so people aren't tempted to kill children first?
I thought we were talking about abortion.
Well, are you talking about, we are talking about abortion. What is abortion?
So an abortion is when a doctor, by either a surgery or a medication, will support a woman in having a fetus taken from her uterus and expelled.
Okay, well, I don't think that's the correct definition, because a doctor helped my two children when they were fetuses come out of my wife's body, and they're still alive and quite well today. So you missed a crucial element of the definition, because every day there are women who are 9 months pregnant who have fetuses removed from their bodies with the help of a doctor. We call that childbirth. What makes abortion different from childbirth is that you intend to kill the fetus or kill the small human being. Abortion is a failure if the fetus lives, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Then I think I still go back to my main point, which is, as a society, as a Catholic community, as mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and pastors and all of those people who make up our Catholic community, what do we need to do to make it so that no woman is ever in that position where she has to make such a horrible choice? What do we need to do?
Why don't we make it illegal for her to do that and shut down the places, shut down the businesses that are killing these children? Why don't we do that?
Well, that seems like a shortcut.
Lindsay, here's what I have with your thinking on this. It is hard for me in this conversation, because the proposal you're putting forward, it would be like imagine if it were legal, and it used to be legal for husbands to rape their wives. It was legal. I'm sorry, my mouth's a little bit dry, but here we go. It used to be legal in this country for a husband to rape his wife until like the 1970s. And that's crazy. It used to be legal for a husband to rape his wife. But imagine if people said, well, we can't outlaw marital rape until we give men the psychological resources so they don't make this choice. I would say that's ridiculous. We should make it illegal for men to violate their wives in this way. Much the same way we should make it illegal for parents to kill their children. That would be the end of the situation there. So I think, unfortunately, we've reached just a bit of an impasse in our discussion. I don't want to take away time from other people that are waiting on the line to be able to talk. But I think for our listeners, I think that they can make a judgment here based on which proposal they think is more civilized. Should we just simply make it illegal for people to kill children? Or should we say, it's okay for you to kill a child because we failed to give you certain kinds of resources to help you in certain situations? Well, actually, no. Lindsay, I have one more question for you. Shouldn't we, no matter what resources we give or don't give to parents, shouldn't we just expect them not to dismember their children? It's not our responsibility to keep parents from killing their children. Shouldn't we just expect parents not to do something so barbaric?
Just resources.
Excuse me?
I think it is about more than just resources.
Well, here's the question. Shouldn't we just expect parents to not kill their children?
Well, I think that we've agreed that parents are not to kill their children.
Right.
I think that we're talking about abortion.
And we agree, but
we're talking about murder. I think in every state in the United States that that it is not legal for anyone to kill a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we agreed, though, what is a fetus?
Right. So now we're talking about abortion again.
Right. But we agreed earlier a fetus is a child.
Yes. And we also agreed that domestic violence is wrong, that rape is wrong, incest is wrong, poverty is wrong, a lack of education is wrong.
Lindsay, let's go back. They're not equally wrong. Those things are not equal. Rape and not giving money to public schools are two very different things. You and I agree. We agree. So let's not change the subject. You and I agree killing children is wrong.
Hundreds of complex interactive variables that are on.
Okay, Lindsay, unfortunately, I can tell here you don't want to have a conversation, which is very sad. Because I wanted to be able to talk with you, but you keep changing the subject and moving away from it. So I will try one more time. Do you agree killing children is wrong? Yes or no?
Absolutely. Killing children is wrong.
Okay. Now my next question, is a fetus a child?
A fetus is inside the mother's womb. And so it is both the child and the mother. It is not a child on its own. It is both of those.
How is a baby its own? How is a baby its own mother? It has 50% of the mother's DNA, just like you and I have 50% of our mother's DNA.
Because it cannot survive without the environment of the mother's uterus in order for it to sustain life outside of it.
So the mother.
So therefore, you cannot take care of the baby without taking care of the mother. They inter-are.
Okay, so because the child is totally dependent on one person, that person gets to decide whether the baby lives.
Well, arguably, the child is dependent on all of us.
Well, in the from a biological standpoint, it's dependent on his or her mother. So your position seems to be, it's wrong to kill children. But a fetus is a special kind of child we can kill because they're very needy. Is that your position?
Child. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm just going to leave it right there, and our listeners can decide between our two views. Which do you think is more civilized? My view, that all children should be cherished and protected under the law, or Lindsay's view that it's okay to kill some children because they're very needy, and we can kill them because they're just needy and helpless. I'll let our listeners decide which view they think is more civilized. So thanks for calling.
We got to go to a break. Lindsay, thank you very much. Why are you pro-choice? Our topic today, if you are a pro-choice person and you'd like to call and talk with Trent, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swain. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice this hour? Only pro-choice people allowed to call. We don't lie about who we are. We are pro-life Catholics, but we love having conversations, and you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Sometime maybe we'll have not today. I really don't want to have this conversation today, but sometime, because I want to go back to the callers, but sometime we'll have a conversation about people who are trained to call. And the little things that they say that give them away as people who have had training in how to make these calls. But not today. We won't have that conversation today. Let's go to Zachary in Atlanta, Georgia. Zachary, come on. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm not a trained caller. I've been waiting patiently because I really feel like you may be the only person that has ever answered this question. I've had it for a long, long time. It's the only thing that I'm on the fence, undecided in the pro-choice arena.
Sure, go right ahead.
In the Bible, mm-hmm. in the Old Testament, it has a part, I'm sure you're probably familiar with the bitter water.
Yes.
The tabernacle floor, that's when a man suspects that his wife has committed adultery and is carrying the baby of the adulterer. And I'm paraphrasing, I don't know it like by heart, but I remember saying that if he suspects her to be pregnant with another man's child, he could go to the priest at the tabernacle and ask the priest to give his wife the water off of the tabernacle floor, the bitter water.
Right.
And I don't recall it saying what should happen. I think it's just that he offers it to her. She'll either drink it or not. Mm. Before I let you chime in,
sure.
I've thought that if a woman probably did think that she was carrying the child, she would be more likely to drink the water. Mm-hmm. If she was sure that it was her husband's baby, she's probably not going to drink of the bitter water. But I think that's really, really relevant to that scenario in modern times, because that's an extremely, extremely difficult scenario. And when it comes to the Catholic faith, I've really wanted to hear you answer this, like what you thought should happen in that moment, because I'm undecided and I don't know necessarily whether or not that may be the only scenario that I think that I certainly am not going to judge a woman in that scenario and a family that would be broken up because of that. And I don't really know what to think.
Well, Zachary, let me just move in here. Some people cite this passage in the book of Numbers as evidence for abortion in the Bible, and it's not a good passage to draw that from. It's from Numbers chapter 5, verses 11, I think, through 31. That's right, Numbers 5, 11 through 31. And it talks about a husband who has a spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he suspects his wife of being unfaithful. And so he brings her before the priest in the tabernacle, and she drinks the bitter water from the tabernacle. All throughout the passage, it says something that the Lord will do. So it's not some kind of a abortifacient or a poison. It's merely a kind of sign or instrument that God uses for a judgment, that if the woman has been faithful, no harm comes to her. But if she has been unfaithful, it's vague. It may not refer to abortion. It could just refer to infertility. It uses the phrase, the Lord makes your thigh fall away and your body swell, and a curse will pass into your bowels and your thigh will fall away. So this may refer to some kind of miscarriage, but usually if that happens, the text would be clearer. It probably refers more to causing infertility in a woman who's desperately trying to become pregnant. So I would just say here that for this is a limited law to be applied to Old Testament Israel. It was just a way of determining if a woman had been faithful or unfaithful. If she were faithful, no harm would come to her. And if she were unfaithful, she received a divine punishment, something that was restricted into the Old Testament. But what I would say is that some people take this and say, even let's say it did refer to abortion, which I don't think it does. Even if it did, some people say, look, God allowed abortions for unfaithful wives. In this case, why not let abortions be legal today? That's not what's happening here. Even if that were the case, which once again, I don't think it is, God is making a judgment, would be making a judgment, and the abortion is a punishment. The death of a child is a punishment. But just because God in the Old Testament could cause the death of an unborn child as a punishment for sin doesn't mean we have the right to kill unborn children. Much the same in the book of Samuel, David, God kills David's infant son as a punishment for his sins. But that doesn't mean you and I have the right to kill infants just because God ended the life of David's son as a punishment for his sins. Once again, God has the right to take human life. We do not. But this passage in Numbers 5, I don't even think it refers to abortion. I think it refers to infertility as a punishment for adultery. So does that make sense?
No. For one, I'm not saying that this is like an advocacy for abortion of other types. I was trying to be specific.
Okay.
I wanted to know your thoughts on this issue relating to abortion. That's what we're talking about. Like, if a woman commits adultery and is carrying the child of her adulterer,
right,
you're saying that you even said here that you're not sure whether or not it's talking about abortion. It's certainly not talking about fertility. I don't know what you're talking about when you said that. If it says the fetus is like somehow not going to live or something.
Well, Zachary, let's return to this when we come back for the break, and then I'm happy to go through it with you. So let's return to this when we come back.
Okay, Zachary, I hope you can hang on. We'll be right back with more Why Are You Pro-Choice today with Trent Horn, 888-318-7884.
How can the Eucharist truly be Christ's body? Does belief in the real presence mean that Catholics are cannibals? Do the Bible and early Christians support Catholic teaching on the Eucharist? In 20 Answers, the Eucharist, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you deepen your own appreciation for this most precious sign of Christ's enduring presence in the world. 20 Answers, the Eucharist is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Dr. David Anders here. Where is purgatory in the Bible? Why confess my sins to a priest?
Find out more tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on Call to Communion.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice? Our topic this hour. So if you're a pro-choice person, you're welcome to call. But I got to say, I got to ask you to, we spent a lot of time with Lindsay and with a few callers, we spent a lot of time, but there's quite a few pro-choice people who want to get on, and we got to, we got to hear people out, but I want to make sure we try to give everybody a chance here by the top of the hour. Zachary was on the line when we went to the break. Zachary, you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so Zachary, let me make sure I clarify one or two things. One is my understanding of what Numbers 5 means, and the other seemed to be your question was, do I think abortion is okay if the pregnancy resulted from adultery? Was that what you were referring to?
Not necessarily saying whether or not it's okay. Like, listen, I'm pretty much with you on most things. I am undecided. If you're looking to change somebody's mind about something, you could do it right now with me. No one has ever answered this question, and technically you haven't answered it yet. I want to know whether or not God would let it happen in this like kind of horrific scenario.
Whether God would allow?
No one has ever. Think about it. Like if a woman was going to go and drink off the floor of the tabernacle in this exact scenario, and it's pretty obvious that it's saying that it could lead to her miscarrying, I mean, you said it yourself. I'm saying that in the scenario that a faithful husband has a wife that commits adultery and is carrying the adulterer's baby, in modern times in the United States, you can imagine how that would go. You know, if she carries the baby to full term, I figured you'd get into, like, you should adopt that baby, right? Or but whose rights are it when it happens? Is the adulterer going to get the baby, and is he going to come into their life now? Well, like, if
Zach, let me we'll go back to numbers five here. I mean, I wish I could talk longer. As I said, we have a lot of people. Aside from leaving numbers five out of this, it sounds like you're saying abortion is okay in the case of adultery in the modern sense, in the modern times.
Because of numbers five, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. What I would say is
no one has ever answered it in my entire life. Like, they always dodge around it and they say, oh, let's try and make numbers five out to be something different so that we can continue to say that, continue to not answer the question.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get what your objection here is. Are you saying that what's happening there is wrong? You object to what is happening in the text?
I mean, I know, like, strangely, this is way too close to home, but I can tell you this, that, like, that is one of the most horrific things that can happen to a family, okay?
Adultery?
And
sure.
I don't... No, not adultery. Not just adultery. Adultery is awful.
Right.
People can get past that. But the fact that a woman is carrying the adulterer's child, that's the most, like, obvious, like, nightmare. Like, nightmare that has happened to millions of people. And I just don't know what to think about this one.
Here's what I would say, and we are going to have to move on. First, I would encourage you to go back to Numbers 5, read verses 11 through 31, and count the number of times the passage talks about a woman being pregnant. The answer, it's zero. This passage never mentions the woman is pregnant once. The punishment she receives for being unfaithful, it just says her thigh will fall away and her body will swell. So it's inconclusive at best. But number two, what I'll say from this, from what you're saying, I would say a child... that adultery is evil, rape is evil. A child is never evil. A child can only exist. A child can only exist in this world because God has willed for that child to exist. That child could not exist if God did not say, I want you to be brought into existence. Now, that doesn't mean God condones every way a child comes into existence, but any child, whether they were conceived in marriage, promiscuity, fornication, adultery, rape, any child, no matter how they came into the world, it is good they exist because they are a child made in the image and likeness of God. They deserve love and compassion. And the last thing they deserve is to be killed because of the crimes of one or both of their parents. Absolutely not. You go back to sacred scripture. Who is the wisest man in the Old Testament? Who is the wisest man in the Old Testament? Solomon. You know, think about Solomon, who was fathered through Bathsheba and King David through that sordid affair. So I would just say, Zachary, if you would like, I'm appreciative of your call and that you're really close to us on a lot of things. And if you need more to sort out from this, feel free to email our apologist line or to call back during the open forum, because I would definitely like to help you move through this, and maybe you need more to move through this particular section, numbers five. But I will say ultimately, especially if this is hitting you personally, and I don't know how that is referenced in your life, I would just say to offer this to God and just remember every single person is valuable no matter how they came into this world, and we ought to cherish them as such. And no matter what, they exist and their destiny is heaven. And our job is to get them there and to get there along with them.
Thanks, Zachary. Got to move on because we want to get to all the pro-choice folks who are kind enough to call us. If you're a pro-choice person, this hour is for you. Trent Horn is our guest. Our number is 888-318-7884. Up next is John in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. John, why are you pro-choice?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I am pro-choice. I used to be pro-life. But I am pro-choice because I do believe it is a woman's choice. The child or the fetus is a part of the woman's body. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Okay. Economically, if a woman cannot afford it, okay, this is my main reason. All right. If she cannot afford to raise a child, deliver a child, raise a child, take care of it all the way up till it's 18. And I'm talking medical expenses too. Okay. Then there's no reason why she can't have an abortion. There's no reason why she shouldn't have that option. And if the church does not support universal health care or Medicare for all, what business does the church have getting involved if they're not going to help even by, say, voting for these options or voting to fund a child? It takes a village to raise a child. Am I wrong?
It takes parents to raise a child, John. And of course, parents have to work. They have to interact with other people in society. But I would say that you and I can agree that parents have moral duties towards their children. And so sometimes parents need help to carry out those duties. Like if a father wants to provide for his children, he has to go out into the village and get a job and work. You know, it's hard to just do it on your own. But I think that while parents do need help from the community to raise their children, we can expect mothers and fathers to not kill their children. They don't need our help to not kill their children. They just shouldn't kill their children. Does that sound fair?
Oh, you know, it would be fair. It would be fair if we lived in a fair society, a fair world, if people actually cared, if Catholics could get out and vote and say, we want babies to survive, we want them to live, so we're going to provide health care for children all the way up till they're 18 or whatever, that would sound decent. But I still am not going to agree with you because okay. It is a woman's choice.
Well, John, let me ask you this. Let's say a woman loses her job and she has a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old, loses her health care benefits, loses her job, and she's having trouble caring for this 2-year-old, 4-year-old, and 6-year-old, and the 2-year-old's just frankly getting on her nerves. Should she be allowed to kill her 2-year-old? Because you know what? We don't have health care, Medicare for all. So should she be allowed to kill a 2-year-old that she can't care for?
No. And I see where you're going with this. But should the Pope get up and say, Catholics, we need to do something about this. Let's vote for universal health care. Let's vote for Medicare for all. Let's take care of society. Let's see the abortion
John,
rate drop.
I think he
John,
does, actually. But,
John,
I think the Pope we have now does that.
He probably, but. No. John, my question is, so we agree. We agree it should be illegal to kill a 2-year-old.
I see yes, where you're going with this.
Well, just it's a yes or no question.
I'm not all about there's no. Look, if the child or the fetus is connected to the woman's body, it is up to her. Okay, it's up to her. It's her choice.
So John, let me ask you this question. Let's say because you're talking about economics to justify this. Let's say a woman is super wealthy, you know, like Kim Kardashian or something. She's got millions of dollars. Can easily take care of a child. She's got millions of dollars. Should she be allowed to have an abortion if she wants one?
I would imagine it's still her choice. It's still her choice.
So the whole Medicare for all thing, that's just a red herring. That's just a distract from the issue. You think abortion should be legal for any reason whatsoever.
Is you look at the reality of the situation, what rich woman wouldn't want to keep her child? Okay, there's a lot of poor women out there, single young women.
Maybe they don't want any more children. They don't want any more children. So let me ask you this, so make sure we get your position right. Is there any kind of abortion you think should be illegal?
Look, if someone goes up and assaults a pregnant woman with a baseball bat and she has a miscarriage, I don't know. You want to call that abortion? We can call that abortion. I guess that should be illegal. You know, that's not really her choice, is it?
Okay, so if someone kills a wanted baby, that's murder. But if it's an unwanted baby, it's okay. So your position is whether it's wrong to kill someone depends on whether they're wanted by others.
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. You're kind of going into a gray area here. There are no unwanted babies. I wouldn't call them unwanted. Every child is wanted, but the reality is you got to face economic choices in today's world. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. If Catholics really want the abortion rate to drop, you get out and you vote for something along those lines, health care for children all the way up to 18.
John, let me ask you a question. Do you want abortion rates to drop?
At this point, I'm so frustrated with with the Catholic Church and everything that you guys preach and your hypocrisy that I could really care less. But I thought I would just voice my opinion on your radio show today. So thank you for
No, John, don't hang up. No, John, please. Okay.
No, he's still there. He didn't go.
Okay, John, why are you so mad at the church?
Mad at the church? I think I said disappointed.
Disappointed
in the church.
What are you disappointed with?
Do I really need to go into this? Do you really want me to go into this on your show? I think we could have just called it good right where I was at. I mean, there are plenty of reasons why people should be mad or disappointed or whatever with the church. If, you know, whatever you want, however you want to phrase it.
John, I don't want disappointment and anger to weigh your heart down. You seem like a good person. And you know what? I guess we do have to go to a break here soon. But here's the thing. It's okay for you to feel angry about things. And it's okay to feel frustrated about injustices. And I would encourage you to seek out what's good. I would tell you abortion is not good. We shouldn't seek that as a solution to anything. But I and everyone else here at Catholic Answers and the people who are listening, thousands of people, I'll ask them right now to pray for you. Please pray for John and Lincoln. His heart is, you know, he seems there's disappointment in there towards the church. I'll tell you what, John, I'm disappointed at the church right now. I'm disappointed by a lot of things. I'm disappointed by clerics. It seemed like it's a day job they're punching into. I'm disappointed by bishops, some bishops who are total cowards, and I feel like they need to step up. It disappoints me and it makes me angry. But I will tell you this, John, I miss receiving Jesus on that altar. Now, I'm not leaving until I get to receive him again. Because he's God, and he made this church, and he made you and me for eternal life. And so I might be mad, but I'm never going to let that anger keep me away from Jesus, and I'm not going to let it keep me away from his church, even when there are people in the church that make me mad. Because if I was objective, I would see I am probably one of those people who make other people in the church mad. I know I do. I know I make people mad online all the time. So yeah, just John, I hope you're on the line. I hope you can still be with us. If you leave your email address, I'll send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. And I'll pray for you. I hope our listeners pray for you. And something for you to think about, that ultimately what the main point here is God exists. He loves you. He loves me. He made us. He made every baby in the womb. And he wants all of us to get to heaven and be with him. And I think we can work together towards a goal like that. So if you're on the line, give our call screen or your email. I'll send you a free copy of my book, Why We're Catholic. Otherwise, I'll ask our listeners to pray for you. So you don't have to have at least a neutral attitude towards the church and not be saddled with anger and disappointment or anything like that. So I'm grateful you called in, and stay on the line. And if you give us your email address, I'll send you a copy of Why We're Catholic. So thanks.
Right back with more. Why are you pro-choice on Catholic Answers Live?
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest, and Why Are You Pro-Choice is our topic. Thanks so much to everybody, every pro-choice person who called. We're going to try to get to every call before we finish the hour. Before I go back to calls, however, I have to really, not just have to, but really want to, because I think Father Sebastian Walsh is one of the great priests and one of the great explainers of the faith. Not just defenders of the faith, which, you know, we're committed to explaining and defending the faith, but just making the faith kind of come alive, like, oh, I understand now. There's very few who do it like Father Sebastian Walsh, and his first book with Catholic Answers is out. It's called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus, where he does meditations on the parables and conversations of Jesus and really introduces you to the person of Jesus in a remarkable way. It's not a political book. It's not a, you know, it's not a polemic of any kind. It's a really an introduction to Jesus through the words of Jesus. And right now, you can order of it a copy of it over at Catholic.com and get 25% off. Just use this promo code. This is just between you and me. LAMB, L-A-M-B. I'm guessing they chose that because behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. So I don't think you will be at all sorry if you order this book, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. I think it's just the book we need. We all need it. A great book to keep you company each night through this time of the virus. And just head over to shop.catholic.com, put in the promo code LAMB, and you can get Secrets of Heaven, Secrets from Heaven at 25% off. All right, why are you pro-choice? Our topic this hour. Up next, Jacob in Wisconsin. Jacob, why are you pro-choice?
Hello. I was wondering... Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello. I was wondering why the... because I'm personally more split on the legal aspect of abortion rather than the actual, like, whether abortion is, like, murdering a baby or not, because I think I do acknowledge that it is murdering a baby, but when it comes to the legal aspect of it, where it's what are we going to do about it legally, I was wondering what you guys' position on it in that regard is.
Sure, Jacob. What I would say is that it ought to be illegal to kill innocent human beings. Like, if we think about crimes, like, what are the crimes human beings commit against other human beings? The most serious crime you could commit against another human being is murder. Why is murder the most serious crime? Well, because it deprives someone of the most valuable thing they have, their life, their future. A life and a future like ours, as the philosopher Don Marquis would say. So I would say that, you know, murder is the most serious crime there is in the books, easy. And then I would say that that crime, all human beings should be protected from that crime. And I just don't put any exceptions on that. Any human being should be protected from it, including those human beings in the womb. And so in order to do that, we would outlaw abortion. And then how that's prosecuted in different areas, the way the law is applied or the punishments, whatever it may be, they're going to differ. But the main point that it's illegal to kill human beings before and after birth, that's something that I would be very resolute about. So would you like any clarification on that? Or?
Yeah, I would want your own personal opinion about the punishment.
Yeah, sure. What I would say, yeah. What is what punishment should a woman receive for having an abortion? I would say it depends on the circumstances that are involved. I think that we don't have a uniform punishment for crimes because, I mean, it really varies. I mean, you could have a woman who kills her abusive husband, like a husband who is abusive but not legally abusive, but just right at the threshold of abuse. And she kills him, and she might get a very lenient punishment. Then you have a woman who might kill her husband to, you know, get his life insurance. She would be punished really severely. So for me, I can't say, I would just say this. Parents should be punished for killing their children legally. No, it doesn't matter how old the child is. Parents should be legally punished for killing their children. But just as we take into account the mental state of parents who kill their 1, 2, or 3-year-old, and it's going to vary based on the case, I think we would have to take that into account with the issue of abortion. But I would just say parents should be punished for killing their children, no matter how old or young they are. But it's going to depend on the case what they would receive, because there's a lot of circumstances that are involved in every individual crime. Does that make sense?
Well, it's you're kind of bypassing the what I'm really trying to get at, which is
okay.
That what I'm trying to get at is that people, especially pro-life, are arguing from the sense of too many times I've seen this is that they're arguing from the sense of, well, this is an unborn baby and it's murder, right? But because their argument in the sense of, okay, what would you do about it legally, is so like it's so loose, that this is why I think that the left or that the people who are pro-choice always win, because their argument is, yes, it's a baby and I have a privilege to kill it, and they go through. Right, they say that, and because I think people who are pro-life.
So, Jacob, would it be more persuasive to you if I had just said life in prison is the punishment?
I think at that point that would be too much. I think the problem is that are you saying that women who kill their children, or people, or women who get an abortion, should get life in prison?
No. What I'm saying is, if I had proposed that answer, would that have been enough to assuage your objection or concern? But in actuality, it would have raised another objection, that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. Because when people ask, here's my problem with this concern. When people ask, what should the punishment be for abortion? Well, that's like saying, well, what should the punishment be for homicide? What should the punishment, I might ask you, if a wife kills her husband, what should the punishment be? The honest answer should be, it depends, right?
Well, yes, it depends in the sense of, well, if it was self-defense or not. But my case is that the problem that I see this, and I'm talking about realistically, uh-huh, is that once you apply a right to a given group, it is extremely hard to take that right away. We see this in Hong Kong right now, right? You have all those rights being stripped away by the Chinese Communist Party in Hong Kong, and they're protesting, and they don't want to give those things up. And that's what's going to happen. And ultimately, when you try to apply laws and say, okay, we're going to punish this, no one's going to apply that.
Jacob, let me jump in, because I don't mean to interrupt. We just only have a few minutes left. What if I said this? Here's what the punishment should be for abortion. We don't have something like this in the U.S., but they have something like it in England. We should just take the punishment for infanticide. In a lot of regions, infanticide is a separate crime from murder. People who are guilty of the crime of infanticide usually aren't punished as much as those who kill full-grown adults, because they're under mental duress or coercion or, you know, whatever it may be. So I would just say, just apply the current punishments for infanticide to feticide. And that would satisfy me in many jurisdictions. And the infanticide laws take into account the mental states of postpartum women, things like that. And I think that would be fair. So what do you think of that?
The problem is that my main issue is policing morality. And I don't like the idea of telling people that you can't do basic biological things like having sex, and saying that, you know, and not being able to do, I mean, I know that there's a responsibility, but I know
Jacob, we already have a law like that. Like, we have a law that says you can't have sex with someone that doesn't want to have sex with you. We already have a law like that.
Well, I'm not talking about people who don't want to have it. What I'm talking about is because what I think too much is that in Iran, there is morality police. And you have people, ridiculous, over-the-top stuff that's just honestly not, it should not even exist in this current world. And you have stuff like that. And I get the sense that people will go, that they don't necessarily understand the grasp of what they're doing.
Okay, well, Jacob, we're unfortunately at the end of our show. So what I would say is, you're right. We shouldn't punish people for trivial offenses disproportionately. But I think we agree, like, morality police, yeah, not for trivial things. But when someone commits a gravely immoral crime like rape or murder, they ought to be prosecuted and punished based on the circumstances. And that's true for born people and unborn people. And we just ought to have a civilized society that recognizes that. So I hope this is helpful for you, and I'm glad you're able to call in.
And thanks to everybody, all the pro-choice callers who called today. We do appreciate your calls. Thank you, Trent Horn, for your time.
Thank you, Si.
You can find Trent Horn's book just about everywhere. It's called, wherever you order your books, it's called Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? He's got a whole bunch of other books as well. And tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum with Trent Horn. 2 hours, open forum. Oh, no, Tim Staples. It's Tim Staples.
Tim, sorry, tomorrow.
Trent, didn't mean to scare you.